So that, yeah, no, that's the situation you're in.
And I suppose that's it. I mean, I know everybody's sort of like around will be looking. If they've started off badly, they're going to be looking for a player. And
Yeah.
is it another one of those things for you that, you know, it gets to sort of Christmas and, oh, there's the phone. That could be Paul. Let's have a look and see who's on the other end of the line. Hello? Hello?
Hello, it's Paul.
Hello, Paul, mate. How are you?
Good, you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Not too bad. Keith's in the studio with me as well. I suppose one of the things is thanks for coming on at such short notice would be one thing I would say to you. But for people that don't know, of course, you're now down at Chesson. I mean, how did all that sort of come about?
I've known Glenn, the manager over there, for quite a few years. Was at Ware with him, and then was at Morven Abbey with him before he went off to Canvey Island. And he just called me, knew that my plans were to move on. And just said to me, would I be interested in going over and helping him out? Which, if I'm honest, and on art at the time, I wasn't sure. Wanted to be a number one, really. No jobs really particularly came up in the summer of any interest. So I said I'd go and join him, and that's really how it came about.
I mean,
that's been good.
I mean, how are you enjoying it over there?
Yeah, it's good. It's a bit strange. been in charge for the last 5 years, making all the decisions and errors and you know, getting blamed for things when they go wrong and probably getting blamed when they go right as well, to be honest. It's gone from being that to sort of being very much in the background, really. So it's a bit of a strange situation, but I'm enjoying it. I'm getting my head around it slowly. But one thing I will say about Glenn is, we speak on a daily basis. We were on the phone for about an hour tonight, and he listens to my opinions and normally takes them on board. And you know, it's working well at the moment. I get on with Andy Crawford as well, who's over there. So it's been enjoyable, but strange.
And of course, you're actually revamping the whole ground and surrounding areas as well.
I'm not personally.
No, not personally. No. Dean is though, isn't he?
Yeah, no. They're doing a fantastic job over there. And like I said, in the short space of time I've been there, everyone's been very welcoming to me, and I've been ever so nice. So, yeah, it's a good club. And the AstroTurf, I think, is about 3 or 4 weeks away from being completed, which will be excellent for us to be able to go and train on there. And the ground looks, well, it's a different place. You know, if people haven't been over there yet, you'll be surprised. I was shocked when I first walked in there, the difference in the place. It's a proper football club.
No potholes in the car park, I hear.
No, that's all sorted now. It makes a difference. Players walking in, you know, both opposition and our players, and as a coaching staff, walking into a ground like that, it gets you up and ready. You know, the minute you walk in, some grounds, I won't name many, some grounds you walk into, it's depressing. It does get you down a little bit,
yeah.
Going into some grounds. But they're a club that are trying to do things, and we're trying to put a team on the pitch that will match the club's ambition. You know, it takes a bit of time, but we're slowly getting there.
And of course, you've got some of your old players with you there at Chesson as well, and the likes of Mr. Hallett.
Yeah, he scored last night. He's great. I love him to death. He's a good lad, and he's an excellent footballer. And he's come in and been his normal professional self. You know, he's been great. Joe Kizzy as well with us. He was outstanding last night against Redbridge, as was Tom Bruno. It's nice to have a few familiar faces, like from my point of view. You know, walking in, it's always a difficult place walking into a new club, especially when they're the biggest rivals of the club that I've just left. And you have to win the players over. You know, and that takes time. You can't just come in and start barging and whacking doors down. You've got to earn some respect from the players. It's nice to have some of the boys around. So,
hi, boys, Keith.
Hi, mate.
How's the players adapted that you've brought well, that have come with you from Waltham Abbey, sort of now you're a number two, have they found that easy, or do they come to you still, or is it sort of, do they find it a little bit strange as well?
Yeah, they still come and chat to me, but ultimately, you know, if there's anything that I feel is beyond my remit, I point them straight to Glenn. Mm. You know, at the end of the day, I respect that he's a manager. He's a good friend of mine as well. And yeah, I think they did find it strange to start off with, but they're getting there. But to be honest, with Glenn, he's allowed me to be me. I've got a big mouth on the sideline, and he does allow you. He allows me to do my job. He trusts me in what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And ultimately, I'm there for the gain of Chesham Football Club, and to you know, to be a success, obviously for myself and for Glenn and Andy Crawford and the football club. So, yeah, they've adapted fairly well, to be fair. So I'm not saying it was a bit strange from the start, but ultimately, anything that I feel would be stepping out of my remit, I always point them in the direction of the manager. Mm. I think it's the right thing to do.
How was it personally for you sort of leaving Waltham Abbey after sort of 5 years? You've been there a long time. You've sort of took them, you know, you've had highs and lows with them. You know, was it just time to move on, or obviously still difficult for you to actually do that? But
it was a decision that I'd had in my head for a good year, that I felt I'd run my course there, you know. And you know, I met some great people there. Hopefully people don't get me wrong. I met some wonderful people there, and they'll be friends, you know, for life. And when we played them on Bank Holiday Monday, I should go over and say hello and see how they all are. But it got to a stage where things were going the wrong way for me. There was a few things being said that perhaps didn't need to be said. We worked ever so hard at the football club to try and bring as much success as we felt we could possibly bring to Waltham Abbey. And yeah, it was a relief in the end. If you want the God's honest truth, it was a relief the day that it all come to a head when we sat down with the chairman. It was a relief and a release for me to move on and try something different.
What are your future plans? What would you like to do?
I'd like to, ultimately, I'd like to be a number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoy doing that. I feel that I've got a lot to offer, and I think I'm good at what I do. So, yeah, in the long term, and again, when I spoke to Glenn about coming to Chesham, one thing I did say to him is what I don't want to do is fall out of him as a friend, because, you know, it's something that if a job was sort of that came up that someone felt they wanted me at their club, then I would obviously look to listen to that.
Yeah.
But it would have to, I have to say and or not, it'd have to be a job that really appealed to me now, because I am enjoying it at Chesham, and it is a good club. And my commitment is there. So, you know, my commitment is at Chesham. In the long term, of course, I'd like to be a number one, but that will happen when it happens. Right. But ultimately, my commitment's at Chesham 100%.
It must be a bit of time. I'm just looking at the website. It must be a bit of time since somebody actually updated it, because you're still not on there, mate.
Yeah, no, I think they're trying to tell me something, mate, to be fair. They haven't done any of the team photos or anything yet. So I'm going to give them some stick on Saturday now, because you've just slaughtered me there.
I don't know.
I don't get involved on the websites, mate. I'm not bothered about your picture being on there.
Where did because one of the top strikers for Chesham last year was it Adam Bowley?
Hmm. Yep.
Is he still with you, or has he moved on?
Yeah, he's still there. He was suspended for the first two games, obviously against yourselves, and I can't remember who played second. That was Haringey Borough, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he missed those two. He was involved. He started Saturday, and he came off the bench last night.
Hmm. Where did the young lad that they used to have? I think he went to Brentwood last. Courtney White go? Has he come back to you, or?
No, we haven't got Courtney there. I know the name, but I can't.
He went off to Brentwood, didn't he? Quite a large centre forward.
Yeah. I think he might still be there. To be fair, I'm not 100% sure. There's a lot going on at Brentwood, isn't there?
So. Yeah.
But we haven't got Courtney at our place. So we sort of looked at it, we got the players we wanted at the start of the season, and as we sort of progressed through pre-season, we were looking and going, well, actually, we might need to improve in certain areas. And we've just sort of tried to go week by week. You know, if we feel we need to freshen it up, or we need to bring in some of a little bit more quality, then we've done that so far. We are short in certain areas. I'm not going to lie to you. We are short in a couple of areas, but we're working on that to try and improve on that. And I think last night's performance against Redbridge was as close to where we're trying to get to as I've seen so far. So hopefully we're getting there, and we'll kick on now.
Mm. How does a manager, and I suppose Keith could answer this question as well, but a manager or a number two, how do you cope with, you know, you're getting a team together, you're going through pre-season, and then all of a sudden, you know, players that you may have got in sort of pre-season then disappear and go elsewhere? I mean, how does that affect the dynamic of the team, you know, where you want it to be, and then all of a sudden you sort of lose players sort of, you know, close on to the end of pre-season when you think they're with you for that period of time? I know it's happened to us, I know it's happened to yourselves as well. I mean, how do you as a manager, whoever's number two, cope with the fact that you've got a plan in your head of where these people are all going to be, and all of a sudden, before you know what's going on, they've actually disappeared and gone?
You look to replace them as quickly as possible and try not to let it unsettle your squad. Obviously, you know it happened to us with young Billy. And it threw us a little bit, but to be fair to Glenn, he went out and bought someone in who he felt was as close to the player that we'd lost as we could get. And if I'm really honest, it didn't actually upset us that much in terms of the dynamic of the squad. For me, it was a mistake he made. Personally, I believe he made a mistake. Because he would have been a regular in our side, because he's got quality, the kid, to be fair to him. And I told him that as well. But ultimately, it didn't unsettle us. If I'm really honest, it didn't unsettle us, because Billy didn't... To be fair to Bill, he didn't do any pre-season.
Yeah.
He was away working. He came back and played in two or three pre-season games. And I have to say the kid was outstanding. He was excellent. He was a standout player. But, you know, as I'm sure you know, Dave, you've seen him play. He's very positive in what he does. He's always thinking to go forward and explode into areas where we can hurt the opposition. So we went a little flat, but not anything really that had a big knock-on effect. So. Yeah, I mean, you really just got to try and replace it as quickly as possible and hope that it doesn't upset your squad too much.
So, I mean, I suppose the game, I suppose, you must be looking forward to it, I suppose, one way or another on bank holiday Mondays. It's going to be one of those sort of humdinger of a game, is it, on against the Abbey on bank holiday?
I look at two fixes at the start of the season. When did we play Arlo and when did we play Waltham Abbey? You know, they're both former clubs of mine, and it's always nice to play against your former clubs. I don't know, mate, to be perfectly honest with you. Again, my mindset's changed. I'm an employee at Chesham Football Club, and you know, we'll be doing what we can to win that game. But then we're going to do everything we can to beat Tilbury on Saturday, Maldon on Tuesday. You know, and then Saffron Walden in the FA Cup. It'll be a strange build up to the game. I'm sure they'll be made of it than it needs to be. But look, yeah, it is what it is. It's always nice to play against your former clubs. Always like going back to Harlow, and then playing Harlow at our place. It's always nice to see some friendly faces. I've experienced it before, and it'll just be the same as that, really. I'm sure they'll be. I'm sure they'll want to beat us, of course. You know, that'll be something they want to do, because we're a local derby for them, and obviously them for us. So, listen, it'll be what it is. It'll come out in the wash, and it is what it is. It's a game of football at the end of the day. We'll be looking to get 3 points, as I'm sure they will. You know, I don't suppose their management staff will be particularly bothered about who I am. And what club I'm at now. I don't suppose that'll bother them at all, which is quite rightly. But there's three or four players still there from us, from when we were there, and obviously the people behind the scenes that I know. So, you know, perhaps it will be, perhaps they'll want to put one over on me. I don't know.
Well, one of the things for me as well is the fact you look at it, and I was quite surprised that our early on in the season that we actually played each other. I was, because you always expect it to be sort of like, Harlow Chesson to be either, you know, Bank Holiday Monday and Boxing Day, or maybe New Year's Day and Easter Bank Holiday Monday. And I was quite surprised that not only with our fixture being the first game of the season, but also seeing, the likes of even Wroxham and Dereham not even playing each other over Easter or over bank holidays either.
Yeah, no, I must admit, I got, because the fixtures were due out on the Friday, weren't they? But they came out on the Thursday.
Yeah.
So I hadn't even looked. I got a text from Jason Allitt saying we've got Arlo first game. So, yeah, I have to say it was a surprise. Because, like you say, you normally play them around those bank holiday days or Christmas period and stuff like that. I mean, I know we play each other on Boxing Day, don't we? No, that's with the Abbey, is it?
You must be playing the Abbey because we've got Redbridge, yeah.
Right. I think we play you around a holiday time, I think, the second game.
We'll have a look while you're talking, come on.
I've been quite surprised at the fact that, Harlow travelled to Wroxham on a Tuesday, the first Tuesday game. We go to Bury St Edmunds on the 21st, Tuesday the 21st of September. And that surprised me because, it's a big ask for players to get out of work early and, because it's a journey. It is a journey and a half. I mean, that Wroxham one must have been horrendous.
It was one of those lovely little trips, yeah. About 1 o'clock in the morning when I got home.
Yeah, it's coming back. It's coming because you've got to get up for work the next day.
Yeah.
It's, I to be honest with you, I didn't get home until about 11 o'clock last night from Redbridge, so it's,
half 11 last night from Wingate and Finchley, yeah, lovely.
Yeah, but so you've got to get up the next day. I went into work today and I started to keep my eyes open.
We actually played each other again at your place, and it was close to my daughter's birthday. It's the day after my daughter's birthday. We seem to play each other around that sort of time, 31st of October.
Right, so is there a holiday period around there?
It's only the school, I think it might be school holidays, but that's
Yeah. So, like I say, it's, look, it is what it is. You've got to play everyone at some stage. It's not like it normally is. It's normally very, very uniform, isn't it? Everybody plays at those. If they try to give everybody a local derby, but obviously they're not bothered this year.
Your lovely trip to Wroxham ends up on the sea. You got quite lucky. You've got to go there. You actually got to go there on my birthday, actually, 9th of April. So you're going to Wroxham. So that'll be
I'll do the same as I did last year. Me and my wife and my little boy went up sort of very, very early, and we go out on the Norfolk Broads and we try and make a bit of a day of it and then go to the game and travel home. So, I'll probably do that. It'd be nice that time, actually.
Yeah, happy days. Yeah, and I must admit, I've got an holiday booked down at the end of September, and I was hoping that's what it was going to be, but we're playing Thamesmead instead, so nice. That's blown that one out of the water. So it'll be one of those things. But I always say to Keith, and I know sort of he sort of like shouts me down as such with it, but I just don't understand, with the fixtures, how... sometimes how they actually get sort of planned out. Now, for me, I would have looked at the fixtures and said, look, right, the first game of the season, Arlo v Chesson, it's at your place. And then when you get to October, it'll be at our place. And using a little bit of common sense with it as such, around, teams getting games called off, and especially like when every year we'd get Waltham Abbey, we'd play Waltham Abbey over Boxing Day, and that, 9 times out of 10, it was always at your place. Do you know what I mean? And you think to yourself, well, and you'd see the fixtures and you'd hear the fans go, oh, well, we can do what we want on New Year's Day on Christmas Day, because we won't be playing them on the Boxing Day because it's at Waltham Abbey. Do you know what I mean? And it's the same sort of thing this year for us because we've got Redbridge.
Yeah, it's strange. It is strange, I'd say. I mean, to be fair to Chesson, whenever we've played there, the game always seems to be on. It doesn't matter what type of weather you get, it tends to be on. So... hopefully that will carry. I mean, the pitch, that I have to say, the ground has done a fantastic job. The pitch looks outstanding. Sort of this pre-season and going into the season, it looks great. So hopefully that will continue over there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's well known that Redbridge, Waltham Abbey and places like that struggled with the pitch. I mean, to be fair to Waltham Abbey and the chairman over there, he's doing and done everything he can to try and improve that. You know, and I spent a lot of money, and he spent more money again in the summer to try and correct any little issues that they had. So, fingers crossed for them that the pitch will be okay, and it will stop all the ridicule, because it used to wind me up. If I'm honest with you, it used to wind me up the amount of ridicule you get, because it's frustrating for us, and it's frustrating for everybody else. So hopefully that will stop. And you know, to be fair to him over there, John Martin, he's doing everything he can to change it over there. But yeah, I mean, like I said, we played at Rebbies last night. I have to say I was quite surprised, because one of the players in the car with me, and he said, "What's the pitch like?" And I said, "Well, you'll be all right this time of year. It should be okay." But I was shocked. it wasn't great, and that's early on. So Christ knows what it's going to be like towards the end of the season. But again, you know, it's a football club that, you know, financially don't have the clout of some clubs. You know, they don't get huge support because of the nature of the area that they're in. There's lots of clubs, isn't there? You know, professional clubs around the area. So, you know, you've got to take your hat off to them that they keep going.
I mean, would it be one of those things, though? I mean, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, and Sudbury will end up getting it as well. You've got the advantage because you've got a 3G surface and all this business. Would you, you know, people or managers not look at it and go, well, hang on a minute, I think, you know, likes of Redbridge and Waltham Abbey, before the work was done, and other grounds, Barkingside, they've got the advantage because they play on that type of, you know, pitch that they play on, you know, for 20-odd home games. And, you know, when the visiting team comes there, they might be a ball-playing team or whatever else, and they're trying to play football on a pitch where, you know, it's just not physically possible to do it.
Yeah, it is a difficult one because there's an argument both ways. You know, look, you have an advantage when you play at home because it is a different surface to play on. We look very tired after we played at Harlow on the Tuesday night. We look very tired. We blew up on about 70, 75 minutes because it does drain you if you're not used to playing on it. Jason Halic struggled massively for a good week with his legs after playing on the pitch. So I would say you probably do have an advantage of playing at home. But then on the flip side, you've got to then readjust yourself when you play on grass. Mm. So, you know, there's a shout either way. I don't know. Look, if I put my hand on my heart, if everybody got offered a 3G, they'd all take it.
Keith, would you take it?
No.
Keith just said no, he wouldn't take it.
I've told my chairman to stick it on the other pitch. I'm not a lover of it.
No, don't get me wrong, I'm not a lover of it, but it generates money.
Yeah.
It generates your money. You know you're going to play week in, week out. I'm not a big fan of it in terms of playing on it week in, week out, but you know you're going to play.
I was talking to someone about it the other night, though, Paul. I think this, unless it's done properly, you know, your Maidstones and Harlow, obviously, with the fan base they've got there, but it's not as money-making as people make out. You know, it's a lot of money to maintain these 3Gs, and then, you know, they've only got a lifespan of 10 years, max, and then you've got to go and relay the thing again. And so if you add it up, it costs you maybe about 40 grand a year just to put your money away for that 10 years to relay it again. Your maintenance, it's not as money-making as people. I think it's a little bit short-sighted. I think there'd be a lot of clubs, like, I don't know, I'm not saying the white, the smaller clubs, that when it comes to relaying are going to struggle.
Yeah, I mean, I know that John looked at it at Waltham Abbey. I knew he had someone down, and someone quoted him, like £500,000 to put one down. It's a phenomenal amount of dough to pay out. I suppose it's the area you're in, isn't it? You know, I know they're very popular in Harlow, being that I live there. I know they're very, very popular, and it's difficult to get one when you're trying to book one.
Yeah.
But again, you know, you go to a Redbridge, is that going to generate? Is it going to have the people to generate anyway? Yeah. It's a difficult one. It's I think you've probably hit the nail on it. It is possibly a bit short-sighted. You know, but Listen, this argument will go on for years and years.
Just think, it's ideal if you're lucky to have one as a training pitch, which we did over at Thamesmead, then it can work with your training and things like that. But for me and the Harlows and the Sudbury's that had perfect pitches here anyway, I just think it's a shame. And all the other clubs, if you spend your £6,000 to £8,000 a year looking after your grass pitch, you don't need to spend that on that anyway.
No, I have to say, when Harlow moved to the new ground, I was still an employee at the football club, and I was devastated when they laid it because the pitch was immaculate over there. There was one area in the far right-hand corner that got a little bit boggy. So, but yeah, I mean, if someone said to me, you got perfect pitch grass or an AstroTurf, I'd take the perfect pitch grass all day long. Mm. I mean, like I said, it says now they're having the 4G, 3G, whatever it is going down as we speak up the top end.
Yeah.
So that's the perfect situation. Like you say, the perfect situation for me is you have that up there to train on and you have your pitch to plan, but your pitch is obviously, you want your pitch to be in good condition. Mm. We've got five teams playing on the pitch at Chesham at the moment. So it's a difficult balancing act.
Yeah, it is.
Because clubs need to generate money, to survive. Again, if it was me and I had any money, I don't know if I'd pump it into a football club.
Mm. I mean, I must admit, I was quite surprised, when you name, the type of person Dean was, I would have expected him to have laid one down. I must admit, when he was doing everything, what he was doing, it was one of those things I was expecting to see, being announced that you were going to 3G. I must admit, but I mean, what is it like working, I suppose, underneath Dean? Because he just seems to be, the type of a real top quality geezer.
He seems a nice fella. Yeah. I mean, again, being that, I'm not the manager, I'm the assistant, I don't get overly involved with a huge amount of conversations with him. He's been very, very welcoming. He looks after you and attached to you. He comes across like a very, very nice fella and a very clever businessman. Again, you just got to walk into the ground. Until you walk in there, you don't realise how much it's changed. It's phenomenal. You can look at as many pictures as you like. Until you actually walk in there, it's such a phenomenal turnaround in what they've done. And I think that, that has to go down to the family that run the football club.
Mm-hmm. FA Cup, or did you say you got an FA Cup next week?
Saffron Walden.
Saffron
Walden away.
Oh, I went there many a year ago.
I think it'll be tougher than people think.
Yeah, it's a small pitch with a big slope on it, if I remember.
They get decent crowds.
Yeah, they do. They do.
They've been sort of 250-300. Watching their game. So
they've got a decent centre forward as well, I've been told.
Have they?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We'll have them watched and see what they do and don't do. But yeah, it won't be. It's not an easy draw, in fairness. If you could pick your team you're going to play, that would be far down my list, I have to say.
So Ray's got a nice trip to Saffron Walden, then, has he?
Yeah. he's going on holiday tomorrow, so I've just been able to see him, funnily enough, and he goes away for a week, so I don't know if we'll be able to get him to go in, to be fair, but someone will go over there at some stage and watch them and find out what they are. But yeah, to be fair, he's done it a couple of times. He can't help himself, Dave, he said that he was done and he's retiring and he's had enough of football, but he's there every week, so it can't be that bad.
And I will say this, and I've said it to him to his face as well, if you can find a better a coach to teach children than Ray, then I'd like to see him, because he just has that golden touch with the kids all the time. Whenever you see him with any of them, he's absolutely superb.
Yeah, there's a little whisper going around. I think he's going to take an under-7s team on, apparently. My uncle Tony's works at Parendon.
Yeah.
Runs all the football over there, and I think they're talking about trying to get him in to do some of that. So, yeah, he enjoys doing it. He's got football in his blood, and, ever since I can remember, I was at football. So, yeah, he is very good, to be fair. He's it's not my cup of tea anymore. It used to be. I used to really enjoy it, but I got to a stage where I got fed up with it because I was doing it all the time. So it's not my cup of tea, but, you know, he enjoys doing it, so I'm sure he'll get out and do something like that. So he can't help himself. He gives it the big one, but he can't help himself but get involved.
Yeah, no way. Listen, Paul, thanks for stepping in at the last minute. I really do appreciate it, and wish Chesson all the very, very best for the rest of the season.
Yeah. No worries. All the best to you, and I hope everything goes well at your respective football clubs.
Magic. Cheers. Thanks, mate. See you later, mate.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And that was Paul Wickenden.